This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I would say to the Pats now, who wins the game is not the team with the best players. Who wins the game is the players with the best team.
Earlier on the show, actor Josh Lucas. Coming up, actor Nikolai Coster-Waldau. Super Bowl 60 storylines. Your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're on ESPN2 now, everybody. We just, you know, we're going to go through a wardrobe change because we're on the deuce. That's an old school reference. It's an old school reference. We're on ESPN2 now, but of course, still streaming on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio. We're on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. For those who listen on our podcast, we say hello to you. All 3 hours available every day, wherever you get your podcasts. The Overreaction Monday podcast is up and running. Mm-hmm. Chris Brockman and I recorded it before we did this live show. And so wherever you get your podcast there or our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Great chat with Josh Lucas, the actor, in hour two. He's a diehard Seahawk fan. We're about to get Nikolai Coster-Waldau out here. He's arriving shortly. And as you know, in addition to his current work, right now he's coming on in support of his show that's in its second season. Called The Last Thing He Told Me on Apple TV. We're all over the Apple TV programs. Yeah, yeah. We had Shrinking last week and Palm Royale in hour number two. We also know he was the Kingslayer, Jamie Lannister. So we got, I don't know how we wound up with this, but when we first moved in here 11 years ago,
right.
You know, the folks at DirecTV, the set designers are like, what are your favorite shows? What do you like? And we mentioned Game of Thrones. They got this Game of Thrones board game. And every single person who's been on the show that has been a guest here, we have them sign this. And it's been signed by John Bradley, who played Samwell Tarly, right?
Yep.
Ewan Rion, who played Ramsay Bolton,
ooh,
a real SOB.
Wasn't a fan.
I believe Sir Davos is up top right here.
Yeah.
Okay, Ian Cunningham, Sir Davos, Lena Headey. Has been on this program,
right?
Yes, so Lena, pardon, Lena, it's that was a whole that was a pardon me that was a sort of a Blazing Saddles Lena Headey moment right here.
She should come back soon.
And Kit Harington.
And Kit Harington was right there as well. So we're about to get another signature on this here board.
True 101.
So that's coming up right here.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you. That's right. That's Ian Cunningham. Give that to me again.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show.
Why don't we use that more? We're going to hit the rejoins.
They're great.
Yeah.
You know?
We have a Hodor door jam, too.
Oh, we have a Hodor door jam.
We actually have Sir Davos signed. I got him to sign the Starbucks cup, too, if you remember that.
Okay, that's right. So, we got that going on here.
Controversy in the last season.
Very good. So we'll go down that wormhole a little bit coming up shortly. Let me talk about this, and then we'll take a phone call. So, you know, this is year 24 for me covering the NFL.
Woo! Dang.
With the NFL Network, I believe. I forget the math. It started. We started in the 2003 season in November of that season.
It's 24.
And, you know, what a group it was to start that thing. And it was quite a time. And if you had told me in that first week of November, I believe it's November 4th of 2003, when I strolled out and uttered the first words on a set in the history of NFL Network, the first words ever uttered was Steve Sable, because we created that hallmark that you always say that the following is a presentation of NFL Network. First voice you heard was Steve Sable's. And I believe there was like a two-minute NFL Films cut together a two-minute montage to count down from 2 minutes to the start of NFL Network. And then I came out to lead off NFL Total Access and delivered the first on-air words in the history of NFL Network. And that was highly, highly combed through by a handful of executives. Every word, every syllable I said. and one of them, by the way, I can't believe we didn't mention, he just passed away last week. The great Jeff Mason was a longtime producer in our business, ESPN. He's if you saw the recent film on the assassinations in Munich last year, it was about Jeff Mason producing the moments in Munich and of that awful moment when the Israeli team was assassinated in the 72 Olympic Games. At any rate, I think of Jeff because he passed away last week and he was just beloved by so many people. And Steve Bornstein, the man who created NFL Network with the 32 owners of the National Football League and the commissioner at the time, Paul Tagliabue, Steve put together an all-star cast to help us launch. And Jeff Mason said to me, I'll never forget it, because I had just left ESPN, where, you know, they cardboard boxed me back in 03. And, you know, my head was swimming, just wondering, you know, what the future was holding and whether what just happened to me, where my full identity as a SportsCenter guy and an ESPN guy hired in 96 as a 26-year-old, now as a 33-year-old, now with NFL Network, which was just launching, what was going on. And he saw I was struggling with it a little bit, and he pulled me aside, Jeff Mason, and said, nothing in this business is as rewarding as you starting something from scratch that could potentially last forever. He said that to me. And I'm moved by it again because he just passed away last week. And I think hopefully you guys all feel the same here, you know, on this show, that we started something Absolutely. New together. I know my name's on it, but this is all ours.
Well, I came in late, but
you were part of this pretty much from jump as some part in the DirecTV universe. But the reason why I bring all of this up is if you had told me that on that day of launching NFL Network and me wondering if what's happened in my life and what's going on, because my ESPN tenure had just come to a conclusion, that this one day on the final Friday of January in 2026 would be sold to ESPN, you would have told me, I would have said, you are out of your minds. Like, what planet are you from? Is this the English language? I wouldn't have believed it. But the news came out on Friday that the league's sale of NFL Network to ESPN, don't want to get too deep in the weeds because I haven't seen the term sheet. you know, for the NFL gets a stake in ESPN and ESPN gets NFL Network. That came out Friday. And, you know, people are texting me or reaching out to me like, what do I think about it? And, you know, first of all, it is the hard work and the testament of everybody at NFL Network since its inception and the support it's received from various parts of the league at various times and also throughout. It's a testament to the hard work of everybody in that office, in those offices. Once upon a time, in Culver City here in California, in Southern California, now in Inglewood across the street from SoFi Stadium. It's a testament to hard work, and the 2.0 of NFL Network has arrived through no, you know, choice of anybody's at NFL Network, but it has arrived. And clearly we have an insight here on this program, being part of the Disney world and universe, I guess I have to use that phrase, since September, that I'm excited because everybody that I've, you know, been reintroduced to, as well as introduced to through this show, winding up on Disney Plus and ESPN, ESPN Radio. We're on ESPN2 right now. We were on ESPN last hour. I mean, it's crazy. What's going on. That taking NFL Network's creation and 24 years of work and hard work and dedication to bringing you, the fans, the NFL, in the way that we imagine it needs to be brought, in our voice and our brand and our experiences and our time of being NFL employees for almost a quarter century, some of us, putting that in the hands of the distribution and the resources of ESPN is an exciting, exciting thing, an exciting time. And, you know, we know from this experience, you see inside the NBA being on. Okay. Pat, by the way, for any fans who are like thinking, you know, where's Pat today? He's going to San Francisco. He's going to be there. And then just talk to anybody on that program and see, you know, what inside the NBA, it's the same thing that you've seen. It's just a different set of letters at the bottom of the screen. And so I'm excited because there's a bunch of dedicated, hardworking, lead pipe wielding professionals who love the NFL and know what it's like to present the NFL and have done so and have a track record about doing it that is ready to do the work for NFL Network 2.0. And I can't wait. That's just my genuine excitement. I honestly do not know what the future holds. I have no idea. People are like, oh, so there's a game in Paris. You're going to call that game? I have no idea. I have no idea what the setup is going to look like. I have no idea about what's going to be expected of the current version of NFL Network in the universe. I have no clue other than the fact that I know the people who are taking ownership of it know what they're doing. Certainly from our experiences here. And I'm excited to see, you know, our studios across the street from SoFi Stadium be a vibrant sports production community and seeing what the crossover is going to look like. I mean, in terms of what does NFL Network and ESPN look like together? I mean, I used to have hair on both networks and I'm sitting here on ESPN2. ESPN Radio. So let's do it.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Is what I'm saying. You were there. You were there once upon a time.
That's true. Yeah, I was 5 years at NFL Network. And I know how much hard work went into building that place and bringing it where we are now. And so just the fact that we're now on ESPN, it's really just still so wild to think about, but it's also so exciting.
Well, you know, the men and women who walk around the halls of NFL Network are diehards.
Yeah.
Diehards about the sport and about presenting the sport and are excellent at it. And we have created our own voice. And I believe from what I've been told and from what I hear, you know, and what I've experienced here is that our voice is going to continue to echo. And it'll just be presented maybe a little differently, distributed differently. The answers I don't know, and we're all eager to find them out. But that's my two cents on all of that. 844-204-RICH is that number to dial. Let's go to Jimmy in San Antonio, one of our favorites. What's up, Jimmy?
¿Qué pasó, hermano?
What's up?
Hey.
Man, Rich, you know, people confuse you for Ryan Gosling, but not Josh Lucas. That's horrible.
Well, that'll end because, I mean, when Josh and I were talking, I mean, you could hardly tell the difference, right?
I didn't know who was on.
You're right, Jimmy.
The screen. It was amazing.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. Are we talking Westminster or what? Day one, buddy. It's the 150th day of one, just best in breeds. This is all on the side stage. It's not in the main part of Madison Square Garden.
Oh, baby.
But last year, Monty, the 5-year-old giant schnauzer that won, was amazing. And I was going to bet on the toy or the Terrier group this year, but then I saw Graham from the working group, the English Shepherd, you know, the Shaggy D.A. type dog.
Nice.
Yep.
Shaggy D.A.
Keep an eye on Graham. I bet he's going to be -320 to make it to the show.
When you watch the car show on TV, do you make Herbie the Love Bug references too, Jimmy? You made some really old school.
The Shaggy the Love Bug.
The Shaggy D.A., man. You went deep. Listen, I love dog shows, man. I would kill to do a Westminster dog show. I would kill to host one of those. 100% is missing from my resume.
Your boy John O'Hara does that one after Thanksgiving.
I know. I know. Well, Jay Peterman. He's been doing it for years.
Now you have an empire.
He's been doing it for years. I would, honestly, that would be, that is one of the few things I have, well, I'm fortunate to say I've done more than most, but, you know, I would kill to do a dog show. Kill it.
So does everyone on set love The Best in Show? That movie?
Well, sure. I mean, Catherine O'Hara, may she rest in peace. I mean, some of her scenes from that movie with Eugene Levy are as classic as they come, man.
You mentioned Carol Burnett earlier with Josh. Yes. I got to play in front of her when I was in high school, and we made eye contact, and I gave a tug of the ear, and she gave me a tug back.
Jimmy
oh, that's
Antonio.
Incredible.
Jimmy in San Antonio. As it brings a tear to my eye, man. That's
oh,
awesome.
Buddy, have a great day.
You
guys.
Too. You too. There's Jimmy and Sam and Jimmy. We went all the way. We went from dog shows to Carol Burnett ear tug.
I can't find any updated betting odds, but when I find them, I'll pass them on to everyone.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Jared in Pennsylvania. What's up, Jared?
Mr. Rich, how you doing?
How are you?
First off, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Want to let you know I'm getting ready to finish up doing sports broadcasting. At Full Sail University, so I'm super excited about
DP.
That.
Okay.
You're, just wanted to weigh in on the Super Bowl here. I feel like everybody is kind of shying away from the Patriots, and I feel like it's gonna be a dogfight. But I really do. I think Drake May has shown us that he is willing to step up and take the pressure in winning this game.
Listen, Jared, at some point, what's the current line?
4.5.
Okay.
Seahawks are favored.
What do you think? It's going to be a coin flip by the end of the day? 3.5?
No. It's going to probably get up to 5.5.
Is that really? Why? Because everyone's worried about Drake May's shoulder until he shows up in front of a podium and basically says 3 straight days, I'm okay, I'll see you Sunday. Is that basically what it's going to take?
Didn't really practice at all last week. Although he got off the plane. He was holding his duffel bag in his right hand.
Oh, that's great.
So that showed me he's probably fine. Yeah.
Do you think he did that on purpose, or he's just a right-handed duffel bag holder?
I don't think he thinks about much.
Okay, I don't think he thinks about it.
Yeah.
All right. Jared, I'm with you, man.
I haven't heard a single person say they're taking the Patriots, though.
And the one thing, and thanks for the call. I sent you this guy. Did I send you this video over the weekend? That the last 10 Patriot Seahawks games, the last 10 going back to the 80s.
They come down to like the last play of the game.
Yeah. Last play of the game, or they're a one score game. They always come down to it. There's no blowouts, none of them. And they're all crazy. Obviously, the Malcolm Butler play is the only one that sticks out, but take a look at the last 10 results. None of them have been a blowout. None of them. This would be the first of its kind. Because the Patriots and Seahawks only play each other once every 4 years,
right?
Unless there's a Super Bowl.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a blowout, but I think the defenses are too good on both sides for this to be a 2-3 score game.
Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Nikolai Coster-Waldau is coming out of our green room. The last thing he told me is on Apple TV, but of course we might go down a Westeros wormhole coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different. because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
I've got Nikolai Coster-Waldau here on The Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience has returned with our streaming and linear cable audience here on the Disney Family and Networks. We just saw a great clip from The Last Thing He Told Me. Season 2 premieres on Friday, February 20th on Apple TV. And I kind of just joked, you know, with you about
I know.
Everything you do runs out of source material,
same
right?
With Game of Thrones. We're still waiting for those, the final book.
When's it coming, man? I know exactly. So you went through season one without expecting maybe more to come.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it's just too damn popular and so more happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think she already had an idea, but you know, we and Apple were you know, they were smart. They obviously put in some options in case,
sure,
you know, it did well.
Right.
But we didn't know. And what's been so much fun reading, the book is just out now as
yes.
well. It's just that you learn so much about what actually happened, because in season one, you don't really know why. The whole point is she has to find out her husband disappears and she has to kind of find out what happened. Where is he?
Right.
And in season two, you'll actually discover the reason behind
what's up with all of that. Again,
exactly.
the season two is based on the book sequel, The First Time I Saw Him, which was just released in January. So perfect timing, right?
Yeah,
the book comes out with
almost like they thought of it.
I love that. So you have shown up with a piece of paper.
Yes. No, I have a question for you. So you were. There's a couple of questions because I thought
I'm here for you.
I was going to meet you.
Okay.
I want to do some research.
Okay, sure.
So when you were starting out at Staten Island, what was it called?
This is amazing.
The
Staten Island Advance, the newspaper.
Did you imagine that one day you were going to have a show like this? Was this always the dream?
It's always the dream. Well, first of all, the dream was to actually be an athlete.
Yeah.
That dream was dashed, you know, age 6, age 7.
What kind of...
You know,
it was early on
where I realized I couldn't really shoot a basket successfully. You know, the curveball and baseball would get me confused.
I mean, this is pretty hard on yourself.
It's okay.
At the age of 6 or 7, you already go, no, this is not working.
I realized that my interest in talking about it might be my way through.
Oh, there you
is
go.
What I basically thought.
So it was always sports journalism that was your passion?
Game show hosting, late night TV show hosting. What else have I talked about my passion? There's that, and stand-up comedy. I did stand-up comedy for a while.
Oh, yeah?
In college. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, man, that's the most frightening thing I've ever had to attempt.
I just...
Ever.
I can imagine, because I was just, like, 2 nights ago, a friend is trying to break through, and I went to see him and some others.
In stand-up?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it's brutal.
What was...
No, but I mean, he was good.
He was good.
He was good. But also, and he, like, but not every joke landed, and it's just...
Yeah. That's the way it goes.
Well, you go, come on, please.
Sir, please, I beg you to laugh at my material.
No,
which is the way, but these guys understand that. I say that to you guys every day. Please laugh at what I'm saying.
Sure, please.
You know, please laugh. You know, thank you. Seeing that happens, that even though it's not very funny.
Okay, so that was the first question.
Okay,
the next question
list?
Is...
Oh, wow.
Wow, he's got a whole...
I want to ask you about... You wanted to be an athlete, and 20 years ago, you started doing this thing...
Yeah, yeah.
...where you were doing a race every year.
Yeah,
for, and now you're raising money for charity. But back then, did it start like that?
No, it did not start like that.
It was with Terrell Davis challenged you.
This wow, you've done your research.
To a 40-yard dash.
Yes, sir.
So the question I have is... You must have known that this was going to go on every year for a long time.
No, I did not.
Well, the reason I asked you that is because the time you put down back then was 677 in 2005.
Yes, that's right.
Last year was 647. So you're still faster than you were 20 years ago.
Yes, I am. I'm a fine wine.
But this is where, you know, we're going a little deeper here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've looked at all the times those 20 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The time you set in 25 was by far the worst time.
Yeah.
Did you already then was like, I might give myself some time before I...
No. You know what it's like to shoot a movie, shoot a TV show. Oh, there's a lot of waiting around, right? Like you sit around in your trailer, you're wondering, I don't know how you do your preparation for your work. You're excellent at what you do. I assume you know what you're doing. For me, back in 2005, I was bored out of my skull waiting to do something live. It was 2.5 hours away.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting next to Terrell Davis, who at the time was just coming off of a Hall of Fame career. And I was at this event where you run a 40-yard dash. And I'm standing in the stands. And I thought to myself, you know, how fast can I run it? I asked Terrell Davis. He says to me, you can't. He laughed. I cursed at him and I went down and I ran it in my suit and tie because that's how I was dressed to broadcast later on. Had no idea that the crew was recording me.
Oh, cool.
No idea. And I ran it and they showed it live to clown me, basically. Had no intention of doing it ever again. The next year, a coach named Mike Holmgren, who had just gone to the Super Bowl with the Seahawks, interestingly enough, who are in the Super Bowl this coming Sunday, he said to me, are you going to run again? I said, no. He goes, you got to beat your time. And I thought to myself, a real deal football coach is challenging my sense of competition. Yeah. How do I not do it?
Of course.
Over and over and over again. And now it's the logo of the show. It's me running a suit right there.
Oh,
see?
Of Look course.
At that form.
Like no, but it's very cool. It's very and then you've also which is very impressive.
This is great.
You have
we're going down the list here.
Yeah. I think this is actually you've raised approximately $5.2 million.
You have old information there, sir.
Is that old?
It's
more
closer to $8 million.
Now. Wow.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, but that is really impressive.
Thank you very much.
And so I don't know anything about the time. Is it good?
It's not.
What would an NFL player could do that in what?
A great and like top notch.
Well, it just
the record is 4.21 seconds.
Oh, you're still.
You know, you could. Yeah, you could set. You could set.
That's not bad, is it? Six.
It's bad.
Your best one is
5.94. Yeah, it is. How fast can you run?
5.93.
I feel like this is the Price is Right just happened right here. Fantastic. Oh.
Well, I mean, I can keep going.
Keep going.
Do you like this better than me asking questions?
This is hilarious.
No, now because you, obviously, I don't know much about, well, actually, there was one thing. Okay. No, I asked you about this if you always wanted to be a journalist, and you told me. But why the NFL? Actually, the question is,
sure.
I was, because I also read that, because you're from Staten Island.
Yes, sir. You ever been?
I was just shooting before Christmas. I was in Jersey for 4 months.
Yeah.
And the Jets are there.
Yes.
So that's your team, right?
Well, I grew up in Staten Island rooting for the Jets. Yes, sir.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
When was the last time they gave you, because I'm, you know, I love soccer, football. My team back home is Leeds United. So I think I can appreciate what it's like to be a Jets fan.
Okay.
When was the last time you had
joy?
Like, real joy?
Oh, joy. 2010.
Well, that's not too bad.
Well, I mean, it's been 16 years now. That's the last time it's been pure, unadulterated
joy. Was that they won?
They almost made it to the Super Bowl that year, and they have not been back to the playoffs since. It's almost as if... When they lost that AFC championship game to the Steelers, it's almost as if I was a fan, as you, they would cut off my right hand and I'd have to live with it for the next decade and a half.
That is that.
And the rest of my life. You understand?
Yeah, I do understand.
Obviously.
It's a beautiful analogy. Thank I'm sir. Impressed.
Yes.
And so that's, but you also support other teams.
Well, I mean, I'm a guy that roots for all 32 NFL teams because I'm rooting for a good game. You're definitely looking at me like I have
three
heads here. No, you're suspicious.
Because there must be rivalries in sport.
There always are.
Be a team where you go, I understand your platform. You have to support all teams.
Yes, sir. Yes, I have to.
But there are teams that you support more than others.
That's true. Yes, I'm a University of Michigan graduate, so I root for my college teams.
Oh, yeah.
With my chest, I really, puff it out there.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, man, for sure. So,
and then I have another question. And this is just because this is NFL. I have to understand.
I never thought I would be interviewed by the Kingslayer.
But this is, because you can inform this, because I was trying to understand.
Yes.
A game, NFL game, is an hour, right? Four quarters.
It's four quarters, yeah. And but in real time, it's like three hours it takes. Yeah, but in terms of what time on the clock.
But then I was looking up because I always find that is the one thing that is frustrating for me.
Yes.
Because I love watching the game, but then it's constantly stopping.
So yeah, what's the?
It's between nine. It's between 11 and 18 minutes. So let's
actual action,
actual play. Yep. So that's 15 minutes, let's say on average, right?
Yes.
But then it's not even that. Because am I wrong to say it's actually four teams?
So let me ask
you. It's like two, an offensive and a defense. So most players will play at most 7.5 minutes.
So
for the $2 trillion they make.
Let me ask you this question, Mr. Leeds. If I had a stopwatch on the actual action of
in a soccer game.
Thank you for football. Using the Americanized version. Your football or the rest of the world's football.
Yeah.
Would it be as much as an NFL game?
Much more. Yeah.
Come on.
Well, this is where you Google
it.
And
I don't mean to denigrate because I actually do love watching football. I love watching it, and I love watching the. You could sense the strategy. You could see when there's action, but frequently there's not a lot of it.
Listen, there's a lot of falling around. There's a lot of I'm hurt, and all. I mean, I agree.
Come on now, right?
No, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Like, it's really annoying.
Right.
But what we all love, we love watching the actual plays.
Yes,
right?
Sure.
And for me, sometimes it just, there's a lot of waiting around.
Yeah, there's a lot of diving. There's a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's funny, because I was calling an American football game over in London between the Jaguars and the Rams. And so the Rams owner owns Arsenal, and the Jaguars owner owns Fulham. So I went to a Fulham Arsenal match the night before, and that's I said on the air, I'm like, it was really great. And I saw how the fans were saying things, although, you couldn't mention what the fans were saying. And so my colleague on the air, Kurt Warner, says, well, what were they saying? And I said, what they were saying rhymes with banker.
By the way, have you seen those videos where they compare the U.S. chants and then the U.K.?
Yes, some are not safe for work, if not all of them.
So funny.
I know, I love that.
By the way, so another thing is, because it's interesting how you just mentioned that, like, an owner that had bought into Arsenal.
Yes.
What do you make of, because Leeds, the 49ers are now owners of Leeds.
I did not know that. The York family owns.
So why do you think there's been this? Because there's a lot of American ownership now.
Diversification. And I have no idea. That's where the money is, or that's where the success is. I don't know. It just seems like it also helps expand a brand across the.
Are you going to, it's in San Francisco.
I'm going. We're going on Wednesday.
Yeah. And you're gonna be I guess.
Are you taking in the game? Do you have any rooting?
No, I'm gonna watch it. I remember that was the first Super Bowl I saw. I've never been to an actual game, but I watched it in LA with some friends, and and he said you got to put money on it. It's more fun then, and I did, and I set up an account.
Yeah,
and I won. It was a year. It was a year where there was, because I did a bet that I like to do in soccer, which was halftime, full time. Yes. Well, one team winning at halftime, the other team winning at full time.
Oh,
right. It's just a simple.
So you got a gambler.
I couldn't get the money out.
Now we're talking.
You couldn't get it out because I wasn't not a resident. I'm not a they allowed me to set up the account.
Yeah.
But then when it was time to get the money out, they're like, no, sorry, sir, you can't.
Chris, you want to set up? You want to help out?
Sure. That's the issue of living in California.
Oh, is it
not a legal gambling?
There you go.
Damn it.
There's your answer. All right, I got to ask you one Game of Thrones.
Okay, please.
Shooting the scene where you lose your hand.
Yes.
What was that like for you?
That was, I actually remember that very well because I had the flu that day. So I was in the trailer and they were like, can you please come out? And I like, yes. And so I was just almost just lying there. So that was fun. It was fun. And they had this knife that like a fake knife with a like little curve thing.
Yeah,
so uh-huh. he could smack it down on
right.
my... And yeah, that was it. Then I screamed. That was.
That's it.
That was it. And then they dragged me back to my my bed.
So it helped that you were fluish.
I was completely out of it that night.
That helps.
Yeah, it helped. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Did you have any idea when this started?
No, I remember thinking when we did a pilot first, like episode one, we
right.
did that, and I remember thinking this because. Often, well, I also noticed that you've also played yourself on The Odd Couple. You've been an actor as well, right? So you know,
yes, you and I are both actors. Yes,
no, but you, but that thing that. About there is the reason is you have to really take it seriously when you do it because otherwise it's kind of ridiculous. And especially when you having big armor and you're sitting on a horse and you're like it you have.
Yeah.
Anyway, but there are times when we did the pilot. It's like this is we're talking about dragons, and this is never going to go anywhere. And then a year later, it aired, and we went to the Comic Con in San Diego, and it was packed with people. And I realized, okay, this is
real.
Yeah, people like this.
No doubt they did. What's your favorite scene that you were part of then?
There's a few, but I think there was a sequence we shot in Spain, which was this loot train. I was being attacked by the dragons, and mm-hmm. I think that we had 3 weeks there, and it was just incredible. That was pretty.
I cool. don't know if that's what it is.
That's
right there.
That's exactly it. That's the sequence.
That's yeah. it.
Wow.
So what did you love about it? I mean,
well, it was a beautiful place. And then it was the whole, for me, that's the peak of that show. It got so big.
Yes.
We had these incredible stunt teams. In that sequence, they set a world record on most people put on fire in one go, which, you know, which is ridiculous. But when you're watching it, it's pretty amazing. And then me being on the horse going through and there's fires everywhere. It was the scale was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Was there ever any moment where you learned about what happened in a table read?
What happened?
Like what was going on in your show? Did you ever, where you had no idea? Like
oh, yeah, yeah.
Jon Snow dying, for instance. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, he comes back.
I know
well,
that.
It never, it was never like at the actual table read, but.
But were they hiding it from you or something like that?
No, I would get the scripts before.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
But I think like that would only be for the regulars. Everyone else would come on and they wouldn't know, what happened.
Sure. Okay.
But also, I mean, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because, you know, that whole secrecy and the way people want to hide these things.
Right.
It feels like, to me, it becomes part of the publicity. Like, because
sure.
at the end of the day, nobody really wants to know. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to know what happens in your favorite show. So the people that start talking about it, like, it's just, you know, it's noise.
For sure. And was there ever anything in your show where you're like, yeah, I don't want to do that for your character?
Or
it's tough for you to do?
No, I mean, there's awkward things. Like there's a scene in a bath where, you know, I had to be butt naked. That's just awkward.
Sure.
Like it's just embarrassing because you're like all your, you know, the crews become your friends. Like we was, and then suddenly you, and then because I had, like at that time I'd lost my hand.
Yes.
So I had to have like this weird, I had a green sock on my actual hand, and
right.
I had this prosthetic sticking out. It sounds wrong, but
yes, it does. Can I confirm? But no.
But sure. But the whole, so that's just, and then of course you were like that scene. We spent a whole, you know, 12 hours in a tub of water. That, you know, so you, it, yeah. But that's, there was nothing. I loved being on that show. I really did.
I wouldn't blame you.
And then the best, you know, one of the things that's so you never hear about is like, in we had these. The background or extras, where we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. They would come in every year from all over the world. They would go in a camp and train. And I've never, I mean, they, you know, you're so many scenes you see with a lot of people.
Right.
And you always see that and you go, they're all there. They're all acting. Mm-hmm. They're 100%. And just a shout out to all those people because the scope they dedicate their lives.
And you know George R. R. Martin, you know the NFL team he roots for.
No, I don't.
It's the Jets.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Which is why he couldn't finish. Wait a minute. Did I just say that? At any rate, thank you for coming on here.
Thank you.
Please
so
come
much.
Back because I barely scratched the surface on what I want to ask you. And I imagine you've got more questions for
I have a lot more questions for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. Greatly appreciated. The last thing he told me, again, season 2 premieres February 20th on Apple TV. Make a note of that. Season 2 of your docuseries, An Optimist's Guide to the Planet, can currently also be seen. And
yes.
You're just wrapped up filming the last Mrs. Parrish, coming to Netflix soon as well.
Yeah.
Anything about that one you want to drop or what?
It was a joy to shoot that in Jersey. Okay. Robert Zemeckis directing. It was
very
cool. Yeah.
Okay. You don't call him Bob? I thought people call him Bob if you were.
Well, yeah, but this is an official gathering,
okay,
right?
Very good.
You know.
Okay. That's great stuff, man. Great director, and obviously everything that you do. Congratulations on everything going on in your life.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Nikolai Coster-Waldau is here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're going to have you sign the Game of Thrones board game.
All right.
For us to put up here. We're back in a second.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Life is amazing. Pella Windows and Doors love having them part of the Rich Eisen Show family now, because when it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan for you. They're not just window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts install them. They do it every day. And that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/EISEN. Yep. Never thought I'd have a show, let alone a show that would have 6 members of the Game of Thrones cast on, and they would sign a Game of Thrones, the board game, all of them, as this is now a new item, or not a growing item in our collection, and have the Kingslayer himself come on and sign Good Luck with the Jets. Right there. Sort of sign right there.
Good luck with that.
Yep. Now it's going to change.
What exactly?
Your fandom?
No. Oh. The Jets' fortune.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, a Lannister always pays his debts.
Right.
True.
You know, it's kind of crazy. I know how this stuff works. But to hear, like, they had a sword or a blade that had a wrist. In there so they could chop down on it. He wouldn't really chop his hand off, but it would look like it would chop his hand off when they do it in post. You know?
That scene was wild.
That was shocking.
Wasn't it? That they actually went through with it?
Oh, for sure. Because he was.
It's a top 5. I can't believe they went through with it moment in the history of Game of Thrones.
And that show had so many of them.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Obviously.
Like if we had a top 5, I can't believe they went through with it.
Oh, man, they just did that.
Right.
For sure. And it wasn't by, spoiler alert, it's been on air for a long
time. Yeah. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
but it wasn't a main character.
This is our annual conversation, it seems like, or semi-annual conversation. It's like, how long does someone get? You know what I mean? There's still people who are, you know, that was a season 3 moment. When was season 3 of Game of Thrones? Had to have been like, what, 10 years ago?
But what I'm saying is it wasn't a main character who did it. Which was also kind of a surprising part of it.
But the whole point, the whole point is like there could have been somebody who was in grade school that now Game of Thrones would be perfect for.
2011
and we're ruining it.
Was it season three? Season three. No, 2013.
That's what I'm saying. It's 13 years ago. So somebody who was like eight is now 21. They weren't watching Game of Thrones when they were eight.
I would hope not.
They wouldn't have this sign in front of them.
Yeah, parenting.
You know what I mean?
Or would they?
It's like an annual conversation about that. All right. Our first guest on tomorrow's program, when we're back on ESPN for the first couple hours, Troy Aikman's going to join us.
Oh,
your guy.
He's my quarterback.
Yeah, he is.
Let's go.
By the way, we have Emmett on Friday.
Yeah.
Dion before him on Friday. Trying to get Irv to join, but he's doing his pod.
Mm. Something tells me he's going to pop up.
I don't know.
Oh, really?
I don't know. if our timing may not work out. We're going down to some serious. CeeDee Lamb's joining us Thursday. Please, these are all for you.
Thank you.
Jeez.
Well, they'll be. The thing is, they're going to be too busy next year to come on the show.
Nice.
My guys are busy.
We'll be playing.
Yeah. Well, we got Gronk for you Wednesday.
My man.
Well, it's really Gronk's for all of us.
Yeah.
Gronk is for the people.
Gronk is for the people.
For the people. Tomorrow, Mark Schlereth and Tom Pelissero join us as well.
Fat Rob Lowe.
And we hope you should too. Who's that?
Fat Rob Lowe.
That's right.
Schlereth said that was his nickname.
Fat Rob Lowe. We're back to wrap this show up on Disney Plus and ESPN2 in a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.